life has so many things that are happening around us and to us and that concern us or trouble us. It's always important to stop and take a breath, to breathe in God's refreshment and life and light again. And that we can know and believe and trust that no matter where we are in our growth cycle through life, Christ in us helps us continue to grow and flourish. And we continue to bring out and bring to other people the love and the power of God so that they too can have hope, that they too can be restored, that no matter what happens in life, we have a God who loves us, who cares for us, and who takes care of us. And we can lean on that God in times of trouble or calamity or problems or concerns, or we can also rest in God and let God do the rest for us. When you can't do it alone, let God. Really let go and let God. You'd be amazed what God can do in your life and in you. And Jesus spoke of this. He spoke to the disciples before his departure from earth. He met with the disciples and he was explaining to the disciples how important it would be for them to stay connected to God. All of us need a truly tight grasp and or grafting into God all the time, because of ourselves, we are weak mortals. We're human beings that sometimes get it right and sometimes we don't. And we can't do things on our own strength, can we? We need God's help. It's okay to know that and say that, because God wants to help us. And Jesus knew that upon his departure, the disciples would be left by themselves, so to speak, to minister to others and to preach the good news about what God's love is like and God's power is like, but also to show God's power through their works, through their ministries. And God also knew that they would need the Holy Spirit within them, which would be God within, to be able to accomplish all that. And so sometimes, though, because life happens, we sometimes lose sight of why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing as human beings. We're here to help others, right, and know God and know God's love, aren't we? Is that why we're here? That is. That's one of the major reasons why we're here as a church family. And the disciples were going to be that for people in the future. And I know Jesus knows people really, really well. Part of it was because he was human, but also because he hung out with humans and other people, and he saw what they were like. He also knew that they would need good advice to be able to sustain their spiritual walk, to be able to minister throughout the world and continue to keep his ministry going after his death. He was entrusting them to take care of people and to spread the gospel, the good news of God's love for all and forgiveness for everyone and for people to grow in their faith. And so in John chapter 15 is where I'm going with this. Jesus uses an example that the disciples could relate to. And maybe as I explain why he used a specific parable example, you can hopefully get a better understanding of why he used that, but also how we can understand it as well and utilize it in our lives. So in John 15, Jesus says this to the disciples, and now he's speaking to us. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you. What was the message he gave them? The message of God's eternal life for all humanity, that he was going to die upon the cross so that we could be forgiven, and that was good news for people. They would no longer be separated from God. So in that and many other messages, Jesus gave his disciples as well. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful apart from me. So first thing we know, we cannot produce anything without God's help, right? And Christ in us. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who parts from me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, he had taught them a lot in a three-year time frame, by the way, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. My true disciples produce much fruit. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey me, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father and remain in his love. What is he saying to obey? What Jesus taught them, right? He had taught them a lot of things through his ministry. Most of we can see through the Gospels, in all the various Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have loved you as the Father has loved me. I've told you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. I command you to love each other in the same way that I have loved you. And here is how to measure it. The greatest love is shown when people lay down their lives for their friends. You are my friends if you obey me. I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. I command you to love each other. So it's a lot about remaining in him and remaining in God and producing fruit. And the main thing that they're supposed to do is, that he commanded, love each other. And to what? Give up, follow him and give up their life for the benefit of others. That means our time. That means our talents. That means our very life. We belong to God and in our service to God. What we want doesn't matter as much as what God wants in us. And God wants us to love each other and produce fruit. So he uses a vine as an example. Now, I did some study on this, and when I was a child, I had a grapevine in Rhode Island. My dad and I, we would go out to the grapevine. It was in our side yard. And it was a great time to really learn about plants and also to spend time learning what to do with a grapevine. So I have a little background on that. So I never really knew why I ever had a grapevine with my dad, but evidently God knew, and one day I'd have to preach about a grapevine. So here you go. And I did some study on this, and here's the thing. The reason Jesus was using a grapevine example was where they were traveling. So very often, as Jesus was teaching his disciples, if there was something nearby, a tree, an olive branch, a mulberry tree, water, grapevines, he would use that as an example. He'd see a grapevine and say, aha, I got a prop here. So he used that grapevine as an example. Now, the other side of this is, if you go back to Genesis chapter 49, as I did, and I found that when Jacob was prophesying to his sons before he died, he spoke to Judah, one of his sons. And Judah was, Israel at one time was split in two. And it's essentially still split in two to a certain degree. But Judah was the southern part of Israel at the time. And Judah was one of the sons. And in the book of Genesis, it speaks about how there would be a king that would come, that would be one who would be the branch, who would also have a vine and be a vine and produce wine, the Holy Spirit, of course. Let me read it to you for just a quick second. I'm just going to go there. It says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. You will defeat your enemies. All your relatives will bow before you. Judah is a young lion that has finished eating its prey. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who will dare rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs. Who is that? Jesus Christ. See the prophecy of Christ coming? And we know of him sometimes biblically as the Lion of Judah. That's where that comes from, by the way. And it says, the one to whom all nations will obey. You know, in the New Testament where it says, when Jesus comes again, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus, right? We're all going to bow before him as the God that Christ is. Watch this. He ties his foal to a grapevine. His foal. The colt of his donkey to a choice vine. How did Jesus come into Jerusalem? Was there a foal and a donkey? Yes, it was. Remember, they said, untie it and bring it to me. The foal had never been ridden on, but guess who rides on it? Jesus. So you see how that's prophetic for ahead of time? And by the way, in the book of John, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem is not long after Jesus speaks of this grapevine to his disciples, just to kind of throw that in there for you. He washes his clothes in wine because his harvest is so plentiful. Understand this. Wine was very expensive back in biblical times. Only the rich would drink wine because it took so much. People would have grapevines and they would produce wine, but guess who drank it? The rich. But look at who Jesus is and who God is and who we are in Christ. His harvest is so plentiful that he washes his clothes in wine. Get the picture. See, wine was expensive, but he uses it as water, as because it's so plentiful. Does this not show you how rich God is? Yes. Does this not show you that we, does this not show you that we as God's harvest are rich as well? Yes, yes, right? His harvest is so plentiful. Think about it. This is 2017. This biblical writings back in Genesis was thousands of years before that. And yet it prophesied Jesus Christ, who's talking this morning through the scriptures about a grapevine. You see the connection. And you see that the fruit of the vine is to be what? A great harvest that's beautiful and wonderful and rich and prosperous. Now, it says his eyes are darker than wine and his teeth are whiter than milk. You got to get a picture what Jesus' eyes were like. In case you never saw a picture of him, although there are depictions, and I remember years ago there was one of those, you know, Christian movies with Jesus with blue eyes. No, his eyes are darker than wine. Really dark eyes. Because they're rich. See, the darker a color. Now, keep in mind, understand this too. Dye that was used to make clothing was also very expensive. Scarlet, the purple, was the deepest, darkest color that came from grapes. Dark, dark, dark grapes. And that's the same robe they put upon Jesus, a scarlet robe. What does it mean? He's a rich king. You understand the royalty exactly. Are you getting the picture yet of who Christ is? And if Christ is in you, does that give you a picture of who you are? I hope it, right? Too often we see ourselves as second-class citizens, right? We think of ourselves as less than. Yes, we're less than Christ, but not. No, we're not. The Bible doesn't say that. It says we're equal. Equal. What does that make us? Rich. We got a great bloodline, don't we? We have got to get rich thinking in our minds, thinking greater, higher ways. We are not second-class citizens, no matter who we are, because we're in Christ that makes us royalty. She's worried about pruning over here. We're going to get to that. Where's those clippers? Did I bring them? So I did some study on grapevines because, you know, there's something in Scripture so often that if you don't dig deeper, you don't get the full meaning of it. And you don't really relate to it. I mean, anybody here besides me ever have a grapevine? Okay, all right, a few. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. And some of you that are traveled around the world, you see some beautiful grapevines. And the greatest wines come from the greatest grapevines, don't they? Of course. And wine can be medicinal. Not that I'm telling you to go out and drink a bunch of wine, but I want to tell you this, that the grapes, amen to that. never mind. I'll be quiet. All right. But we know there are studies that prove that grapes, the purple grapes, have antioxidants in them. They're good for our cardiovascular system. They're good to bring down cholesterol. They're good to help oxygen flow through our bodies and help us keep all the radicals of all the processed food we take inside and all the pollution that's around us. It kills off those bad things so our body can be restored. Grapes are good. Good grapes are good. Now, let me read to you. I want to give you some examples of what a grapevine is and the life cycle of a grapevine, because I found this so interesting how it applies also to why Jesus brought up, you need to be close to the vine and you're the grapes, just in case you didn't know that. First of all, in the first year that a grapevine is started, it has to grow a strong root system. All the nutrients, at the time, what happens is the farmer puts nothing but root nutrients into the soil and into that root system to help it grow. Now, we know that we as Christians, remember Jesus talked about good, you know, plants, good soil, right? We know about good soil, and we have to have nutrients, and the deeper down you go into God, you build a strong root system. And Christ talks about putting your feet into the foundation of Jesus Christ, right? Build your house, yourself, upon the rock, upon Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes outside up here, you have a strong root system. You're grounded in Christ. So no matter what comes your way, you're still a strong trunk of a grapevine. We got to build our trunk, spiritually speaking, as early Christians. That happens in your first year, if we take it literally as it relates to being a grapevine. What often happens in the first year is some flowers start to bloom and blossom on this grapevine. But those flowers don't become grapes. In fact, the farmer has to cut off those flowers because that's not going to create a strong grape. That's the pruning. In the third year, how long did Jesus have a ministry with his disciples? 3 years. In the third year of a grapevine's life, it's ready to produce fruit of good quality. Some of us want to rush God. We want to grow in our faith. Sometimes God, it takes a first year or maybe more than a year for us humans to get rooted in God. And we start to produce a little bit of fruit, but maybe it's not the strongest fruit or the best fruit as of yet. And then God starts to prune and cut away the branches. Why? So that one root goes deeper down, and those grapes, here's what happens to the grapes that start to grow. They form a cluster. You know what grape clusters look like, right? Right? Grapes don't grow alone. Grapes don't, right? A tangerine, when it grows, it's a tangerine, right? An apple is an apple. A pear is a pear. But grapes grow in clusters. You see why we have churches. We're clusters of grapes. And we gather together, right? And and here's what I read also about grapevines and grapes. One grape can protect another grape from the other birds trying to get a hold of them, for the insects, and the sun might dry up that grape. So that's why we cluster together. You need to be connected to other grapes. Small groups, maybe. I don't know. But we're connected mostly to what? The vine, the root system. Out of the ground, through the branches, go touch that sap that puts nourishment into each little grape on the grapevine. And one thing I did learn as a child I used to like the sour grapes when I was a kid. They were those little teeny green ones. And you'd grab them off the vine and you'd eat them and they were so sour. Nature's sour balls. I used to love them. And my dad used to yell at me for taking them. Why? They weren't ready yet. Grapes are not supposed to be sour, in case you didn't know that. They're supposed to be what? Sweet. Now, here's the thing I learned about grapevines also. The longer the grapes stay on the vine, they grow, they get more, and the wood of the trunk gets stronger, the root gets more solid, the pruning occurs to take off the branches that are not bringing clusters together, so that's where pruning happens, and then the sap goes directly to more of those clusters of grapes, and those grapes get sweet and sweeter and sweeter, and they call them the sweet spot. The farmer has to know exactly when to take those grapes off, when they're perfectly sweet. And here's what happens, too. Those grapes, if they're not tended, if there's no farmer, they just become a big old bush, and most of the grapes drop and fall to the ground. I remember as a kid, we had a fence, and my dad and I, we would go out there, and we'd make sure the vine, we'd split them up a little bit and make sure they had room to breathe. And there would be some of those vines on the very end, which wasn't getting any sap, those grapes would die. The farther away it got from the root system, the less chance it had to grow. So what's that got to do with us, church? Well, here's the thing. We're here to do what? Produce fruit. We're here to become grapes, sweet grapes. We grow in the spirit by staying closer to the vine. And whenever God prunes us in that 3-year time frame, usually, we accept that pruning. But that also means that God prunes away those things from us that are harmful and keep us from closeness to the vine. A grapevine will mature. Continue to mature 30 years or more. So there's hope for all of us. A lot of the grapes that are actually born out or fruitful, they become table grapes that feed people. Most grapes that are produced around the world are not used for wine at all, but they're used to feed people. So where do we put all this whole thing together? Well, Jesus is the vine, right? We are the branches. And we're here to do what? Produce fruit. What kind of fruit? Good, sweet, loving fruit that will last. Last in the sense of we keep producing fruit. Not that you know, grape is going to last for 30 years, but that we keep reproducing more and more fruit, more and more lives for Christ. That's what we're here to do. So I guess the question becomes for all of us, now that we understand this grapevine thing, what can you do to stay closer to Christ, to make sure that you stay rooted and grounded in Him? Stay close to Him. When you think about it, He used the same example of a sheep, right? If a sheep strays away, what happens? It gets lost. When we get farther and farther away, as we think we're growing, we're out here somewhere, but we're not connected to the vine, we're not spending time alone with God, we're not spending time in the Word, we're not spending time with other grapes, we're not clustered, sometimes the sweetness doesn't come. We're to be useful Christians, right? As a church family. And what that means is this. We're here to love each other. The more we love each other, the more we care for one another, and the more we stay individually connected to God and collectively stay close to God, the greater our chances to produce awesome fruit for God. And what's the fruit for God that we're here to produce? Not just grapes, that are give medicinal healing to people, but eternal life. That lasts forever, right? When you share Christ and who he is and his love for all humanity, when you tell others how great it spreads from one to the other, right? Thus the title for my sermon. We have to tell each other and tell others about God's love. We have to show that to our world today, don't we? We have to exemplify that by the way we live and by the way we love. And we only do it by staying connected to the vine and to one another. So if I can have all you grapes cluster together for me, please. Come on. Closer, 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 close. That's it. Closer, 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 closer. Nice and close. It's okay to get close. Now, you notice how you're all bunched together, right? Closer, I'm going to get there. Now, you're all, but some of these guys are really clumped. This is a great cluster right here. Now, these folks over here, you're not touching one another. So I'm wondering about this cluster over here. Are you okay with touching one another, clumping together? Clustering, I know, okay, without causing any phobias here, right? Being too close. Now, there's really one, two, three clusters of grapes I see. Which ones will we pick? Oh, I picked that one. We're sour. What could make you sweeter? What will make you sweeter? For those of you that feel as though you're sour yet, maybe you need closer to the vine. Closer to the vine. Closer to the root system of Christ. The closer you stay to Christ, because he is that trunk, right? So it's okay to move in closer to Christ all the time, every day. Get as close to Christ as you can in the human sense. Spend time alone. One-on-one with you and Christ. There's so many other things that take our time and our energy, right? We need God more than we need anything. We can't do anything alone without his power in us. So stay close to that vine. And then when God picks you and takes this grape, that grape is designed to feed someone else, right? And then if you hear it through the grapevine, if you start talking about God all the time and how good God is, some people might overhear, right? And they're going to say, oh, I want to be a part of that grapevine over there. Because they're sweet and they're loving. And there's something about them that's just like the God I want to have in my life. Because we're not a church of sour grapes, are we? Right? We speak good things to one another. We care for one another. We love each other. And we're willing to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others, right? Our entire community and world. That's what we're here for. But you guys got to stick together in prayer, in this prayer study of the Word of God and the love of God. And sometimes God's going to just take a grape and say, here, I need you to come feed somebody. Bye. Bye, vine. But here's the thing. If this grape goes out and feeds one person, and then the next grape, and the next grape, and what's going to happen? You're going to produce more and more fruit. Here's the cool thing about grapevines I learned that I find so fascinating. There's such a thing called a perfect grape. And you know what makes it perfect? It pollinates the other grapes, the grapevine, for the next harvest. Isn't that something? Grapes are the only fruit that don't need bees to pollinate it. It pollinates itself. Wow, isn't that fascinating? Think about that, church. You're here to pollinate one another with good things, right? And pollinate our world and create more grapes of sweetness that'll help feed others, right? That's what church is.